Hello everyone, welcome to this module of the PnP Office Dev core training. This module will focus on how you can contribute to the PnP initiative, so meaning how you can help the PnP program by consuming it, but also by changing it, by submitting code, by submitting bug fixes, by submitting issues. My name is Bert Janssen and I'm your host for today. So what's PnP all about? PnP or Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices is a community project focused on SharePoint and Office 365 development. So the common themes we work on are SharePoint add-ins, which used to be our main theme in the past. Nowadays, we also do a lot of work around Office 365 APIs, the Unified Grab API. We have an expanded remote provisioning engine inside the Office 365 core library, and we'll be more and more focusing on client-side development as well in the future. Now, for all these teams, we offer code samples and guidance for you to use. So we have different repositories having those samples and guidance, but we also have monthly community calls where we explain what we did in the past month. Like, we have a monthly release process, and each month we explain what we did. And obviously we also give you a view on what's planned for the future. And finally, we have some case studies. So Blue Meteorite and Volvo, which are on the slide here, are two companies that heavily leveraged the PnP code samples and guidance to realize their solutions. If you need to want to learn more about PnP, there's one address to remember. That's http://ak.ms/officedevpnp. Now, for today, what's our agenda? First of all, I would like to briefly explain what options do you have to contribute to the PnP initiative. It's not just about fixing code that is contribution. There are different ways to contribute, and let's talk about that. Then we'll talk about how you can prepare your environment. So we use GitHub and Git repositories as our tooling platform. So you need to be prepared to use those as well if you want to contribute. And we're going to help you set up your environment. And finally, we will help you. We'll show you actually and explain you how to create your first pull request. What are the best practices and how to do that? So, what options do I have to help PnP? How can you help the PnP program grow and become even more successful? So, the first and biggest option actually is to just use our samples, our components, our guidance, our videos, everything we have. Just consume it, use it, make some noise about it. It's all open source, so you can fully leverage it, everything in your projects, in your customer projects, in your other open source projects. Just use it. Now, I can imagine that when you use it, you will have some questions popping up in your mind, and we just perfectly normal. Now, for questions, our advice channel is our Yammer group. So if you go to http://officedevpnpyammer, you will end up in a very vibrant Yammer community focused on SharePoint development, Office 365 development. There's more than 4,000 members in that Yammer group today, and it's still growing, and this is a very active community. Now, another option for you is using the issue lists. So each GitHub repository has its own issue list, which you can log a bug or a change request. For that kind of feedback, the issue list is better than Yammer. Yammer is more to have a discussion. If you have a question, if you have a real bug, a real problem, please put it in our issue list. And in the demo, we'll briefly touch upon our issue list as well, so you can see where you can find that one. third category of contribution, of helping, is actually creating new things, new samples, new documentation, or also updating existing samples, existing documentation. So we would really encourage you to spend time on that if you want to contribute, because the world is evolving, so we always will need new samples showing the newer options available out there. And we're especially not so, let's say, good at creating documentation. So documentation can definitely be improved. And if you want to contribute to that area, that would be super. Now, the final category that I put on the slide here is fixing issues. So you see a problem and you think you can fix it, and you fixed it in your environment, it works great. But at that point, we would really love you to provide that fix to us so we can add it to the PNP repositories. And at that point, everyone in the whole world that's using PNP can benefit from your work. So please submit your fixes to us. Now, to what extent do these ways to contribute relate to GitHub? And actually, to be honest, all of them relate to GitHub. Because for the first two options, you would need to have the code, right? So if you want to use the samples, you would need to somehow need to grab the code. And the advised way to grab the code is actually cloning the repository that is holding the code. And we'll dive into that pretty soon, what it means, how you can do that. For the bottom two options, you first need to clone the repo, like for the top two. But then you need to be able to create a pull request. So the pull request is a mechanism in GitHub that allows you to create a fix and kind of propose your code to the PNP core team for a submission. So at that point, we can see this pull request in our list of open pull requests, and we can process it. Now, before we start cloning repositories, creating pull requests, etc., let's quickly talk about tooling. What kind of tooling do I need? So for me, and this is the most important tool to work with GitHub, is Visual Studio, actually. Visual Studio has splendid GitHub support built in, and this is especially true for Visual Studio 2015, but also 2013 is a pretty decent GitHub support. So from inside Visual Studio, you're able to commit changes, clone new repositories. You can, for example, see the change history. You can perform merges or deal with merge conflicts. We have a command line in there. You can create branches, etc., etc. So most of the GitHub, of the Git capabilities are possible via Visual Studio. Now, next to Visual Studio, we're also using Git for Windows. Git for Windows offers a very good command line and some basic GUI and shell integration. Now, I always install Git for Windows purely for the command line. So at that point, I have a very good Git shell, and I add C program files slash git slash cmd to my path environment variable, which gives me Git everywhere. If I'm in PowerShell, I can type Git. If I'm in a command prompt, I can type Git. I have it everywhere, which I really like. Now, on top of Git for Windows, Tortoise Git is also an excellent tool to install and to try out, because it actually gives you a very, very, very good Windows Explorer integration, which means that from Windows Explorer, if you go to a Git repository, you will see the status of the individual files and folders. You're able to see, oh, these files are changed, these are new files. You can add the new files to the repo, commit the changes, etc. So a really nice tool. All right, enough about tooling. Let's try to grab our first code. How do we do that? For most, the simplest option that you have is going to the GitHub site, going to the repository that you need, and clicking on the download zip button. What will happen at that point is that GitHub will create a snapshot of the current code in the selected branch. So here we have the dev branch selected when we click on download. So all the code in the dev branch will be zipped and you will get a big package which ends up on your file system, and that's it. It's really an offline copy, a one-time snapshot that you take from the code. Works perfectly if that's what you need. But personally, I would recommend the second option, and that's cloning the GitHub repository to your machine. A clone is, again, an offline copy, but this time the copy is refreshable, meaning you can just via one command called, which is named git pull, you can refresh the files, the data in your local repository. So essentially the steps that you need to take are creating a folder somewhere, and then you do git clone. You provide the address of the GitHub repository that you want to clone, and you give the name of the folder in which you want to clone. So eventually, this will result in a copy of the GitHub repository under c/github/bnp. All right, enough slides. Let's see this in action. So here I have a development box. And in there, I've browsed to the github.com site. If you do not yet have a GitHub account, you can sign up for free. It is a free service. Now, in this case, I already prepared an account. So I'm going to sign in with that account, hit the sign in button. My account is named Office Dev PNP. Click sign in. And I'll end up in the home page for my GitHub account. So that's available. Now let's just go to a repository. It's good to know that all the PNP repositories are organized underneath the Office Dev organization. So if I go to Office Dev, I'll see a GitHub page showing all the repositories that are contributed by the Office Developer Organization. Now, the easiest way to find the PNP repos is just filter on PNP over here, which will give you a list of all the PNP repositories. Now let's take the main PNP repository over here. This is the typical GitHub view. So you will see the source code. You can switch branches. So I can switch from master to dev, for example. You see here at the right side, the download the zip option. On top, you have tabs. So we talked about code, which is over here. You have issues. When I click on issues, you see the current issue list, and you have an option to add a new issue, like this. You see the open pull request, which we'll talk about later on. There's a wiki showing information about the repo. Now, let's see how we can pull down, how we can clone this repository. So to do so, I'm going to start the command prompt. And I'm at the C drive, so let's make a directory, mkdir git demo. Let's go to this directory. Now we need to issue the git clone command, git clone. And we have to provide it the address of the repository. The easiest way to grab the address is actually copying it from here. Let's paste this one in and let's give it a name, PNP. If I hit enter, the git command line will pull down all the data from the PNP repository, which is in this case quite a lot, 160 megabytes. But you see that's pulling down pretty fast. So we pull down the code, we're checking out the files, and we should be done in a minute. All right, so let's jump into this repository. If I press adder, I see there's a new folder PNP. So let's go to PNP. Press adder again, And you see the different folders that you also saw in the site, so components, libraries, solutions, etc. The good thing is I can now do git pull, and via doing git pull, we're going to check again in the PNP repository at the server. Are there changes? If so, we will pull them down and add them to your local repository. So this is a way to refresh your local repository. All right, moving back to slides. And once we come back for demos, we will further continue with doing a pull request. But let's first see what that means from a slide perspective. So creating a pull request actually is preparing to is contributing, right? And the first step that you have to follow is actually forking the repository that you want to contribute to. So if your plan is to contribute to the PNP repository, you need to have a fork of the PNP repository. If you want to contribute to the, let's say, the PNP sites core repository, you need to fork the PNP sites core repository. And forking is a very, very simple activity in the GitHub site, because there is a button called fork, which I highlight over here. You click on the button and essentially GitHub will create a copy of the repository that you want to fork, and that copy will end up in your account. So in this case, I have a copy of the PNP in my account. Now, a copy is a copy, meaning it's a one-time snapshot. There is no connection back to the original repo, which is very annoying, because if you want to refresh your copy, it doesn't work. Now, luckily, Git does support a model to connect those two repositories, to connect the main repo with your forked copy. And the way to do this is listed in the second block over here. So from a command line perspective, we first clone the repo like we did previously. Then we add a remote, so we connect a remote repository for a particular branch, so the dev branch. We give the remote repository the name upstream, and then we give the address of the remote repository. So at this point, there's an upstream repo known by the your forked repo, and that upstream points to the main repository on the GitHub site. Then we fetch that upstream repository, so kind of pulling down information about it so that we know locally what's available in upstream. Once we have done that, we check out the dev branch from the upstream repo. So essentially it means that we connect the dev branch in your forked repository to the upstream repository, which allows you to pull down changes from that upstream repository inside into your dev branch. Now, before you create your first pull request, there are some important things to know. So the previous slide, we showed you how to create your forked repository, how to set up the dev branch so it's properly connected to the main dev branch. And at that point, you could start editing code in the dev branch and create a pull request. Now, that's not something that we would really recommend, because there's only one dev branch. So you can create only one change, and then you have to wait until the change gets processed. So therefore, it's better that you create a new branch for each individual change that you want to contribute. And creating a new branch is fairly simple. Using command line, you do git checkout, minus b, you give the branch a name, timer job fix in this case, and then you give the origin branch, typically dev. That new branch that you've created also needs to be available server-side. So because the git checkout command did things locally in your local copy of the git repository on your file system. But using git push with a set upstream, you actually send this new branch to your server copy running in your account in GitHub as well, which is a prerequisite for later on be able to create a pull request. Now, once all of this is set up, at that point, things are back to a regular Visual Studio. You open the solution that you want to change, you make the changes, you test them, you add a new solution, you fix documentation, any kind of change you do, you do it, and at a certain point you're ready, you commit the changes, typically via Visual Studio, right-click the solution, right-click the project, and choose commit, or use Tortoise, Git, or even command line to commit it, whatever works best for you. You commit the changes. Once the changes are committed and pushed to the server, you can go to the GitHub site. And if you go to your fork repository, there is, and you select your branch that you created, for example, timer job fix, you will see that there is a green button called New Pull Request next to that branch. So clicking on that button allows you to compare one branch from your repo with one branch from the main repo. And essentially, a pull request is nothing more than a live branch comparison. Important here is that you compare against our dev branch. So you see here that we compare against the Office Dev PnP repository, so the main repo, the dev branch, and we compare the dev branch with our fix branch, time and job fix. So that's really, really important. We see still a lot of pull requests created against the master branch. And unfortunately, we cannot merge pull requests that were created against master. You review the data over here. You provide a detailed description on what your change is doing. And once you're okay with that, you click on Create Pull Request, which will actually create a pull request in the main repo. We will get notified. So we as the core team will get notified, and we review your pull request and typically merge it. Some important gotchas. We see some people that after they create a pull request, they immediately delete the branch they used for the pull request. Please, please do not do that, because if you do so, we are not able to merge the pull request anymore, because the pull request is a live branch comparison. So if you created a pull request and you later on submit additional changes to that branch, they will also end up in a pull request. Which brings me also to the second topic. Please create a branch per change. If you start creating your changes in the dev branch, you create a pull request and then you continue making changes, they will kind of mix with the other changes. So it will be very hard for us to pull them apart and properly merge. All right, let's jump into a live demo again. So I'm switching back to my dev session over here. Let's go to the Git demo root folder, and let's go back to the Office Dev PnP repo. So let's start with creating a fork. So top right, I'm going to click on fork, which will essentially create a copy of the Office Dev PnP repository inside my account. All right, that's done. I'm going to copy the address of my new repository over here and switch back to command line. So like previously, we first need to pull down this repository, which we do via the git clone command. Git clone. The address of the new repository, so office dev pnp/pnp. And typically I use the convention to prefix the forked repositories with the account name, office dev pnp_, and then I take the actual repo name. It's just a convention. And hit enter. At this point, the data will be pulled down again, and we will have another copy of the repository in our local file system. So we're checking out files, almost done. And here we are. All right, so let's cd into this new folder. CD Office Dev PnP. Second step here is now adding a remote. So git remote add minus track, if I can type correctly, minus track. We track the dev branch from a new upstream a repo, which you call upstream. We're just leaving it this particular address. So this is the address office dev slash pnp, so the main repo. Then we need to pull down information about this upstream repository, which we do via git fetch upstream, like this. All right, now let's get our dev branch connected to this upstream dev branch repository, to the dev branch in the upstream repository. So which git checkout minus b dev upstream slash dev. All right, and finally, let's do a git pull. Okay, good. So we have our repository pulled down. It's connected. If I do git status, you will see that it is connected to, let's zoom in. Your branch is up to date with upstream dev. So this is a way to check whether your current branch is actually tracking the upstream or tracking your forked branch. Now remember that we told you, please create a branch per change. So let's follow our best practices over here as well. So I'm gonna do a git checkout minus b, let's call it demo. And then we start from the dev branch. All right. We need to push this demo branch to the server, git push minus set upstream. We push it to origin. Origin is our fourth repository. We give it the name demo, like the branch name. At this point, we need to write back to our repository, so we need to provide credentials. So there was office dev pnp was my account and my password. And we should be okay. Good. All done. Now let's make some changes. Let's take let's go to git demo, office fpnp. Let's take some random sample. Core F script part. I open up the solution. Opening up, I go to Solution Explorer. Let's do a quick build just to pull down all the dependent packages. I'm actually not going to make a live working change, but just to show you that if you pull down the Git repo, you still need to build to pull down all the dependent NuGet packages. So once that's done, let's make a simple small change. Let's say over here, hello pnp contributor, and save the file. Now you see that in Visual Studio, the file has changed. And over here again. So the way how I always work is right click either the project or the file or the solution. So let's take the solution, right click it, choose commit, provide a commit message. Let's call it demo commit for training, hit commit. At this point, the change is committed. One way to then push the change to the server is going to the Team Explorer, to home. You click on sync, and then you have an option to push this particular commit to the server. Another option is using command line. So if I type git push origin, it will push my commit to the server again. So let's do that. Office dev pnp, my password, like this. And now my change is pushed to the server. which essentially means that if I go to my repo, where I am right now, if I refresh it, open up the branches, I see my demo branch. Yay, it worked. So we have a demo branch, and in there we see our commit, demo commit for training. We see the pull request button. So let's hit that one, new pull request. Let's properly configure this. So remember, compare against the dev branch, not against the master. At this point, you'll see the commits being part of this pull request. So there's only one commit with the changes we did. So the hello PNP contributor, and this change was done by Visual Studio automatically. So let's provide a descriptive comment, demo commit for the training. And let's create a pull request. If you now go to the Office Dev PNP repository where we automatically switched to, go to pull requests, you'll see that your demo commit is there. One thing to notice, if this is your first pull request, you will see this red label CLA required. CLA stands for Contributor License Agreement, and that's something that we require you to sign before we can accept your code change. So this is there for all Microsoft open source repositories. And signing it is fairly simple. If you go to https cla.microsoft.com, you follow the steps over there and you can do this one-time contributor license agreement. And for all your future pull requests, this will be automatically dealt with. Okay, let's flip back to slides and wrap up this module. So we saw how to create a pull request. Now, if you created your branch and you worked on your code, and suppose you've been working on this for quite a long while, it is a good thing to regularly refresh your branch. So the time module fix or the demo branch that we talked about, to refresh that one with the latest status of the dev branch from the main repo. You can do this using the git merge upstream slash dev command. If you create a pull request for a very old branch, it will likely result in merge conflicts, which will make life for us very hard because we have to try to resolve the merge conflicts. So that's why we recommend you to keep your branches up to date. And finally, once your pull request was properly submitted and merged by the PNP core team, you can clean up your branch, which you do using git push origin colon and then the branch name, which essentially will remove the branch from the server side. Then you switch to any arbitrary branch that you have locally, like typically the dev, and with git branch minus d, your branch name, you will also delete the local copy of that branch. At that point, everything is clean again. All right, that wraps up this module around how to contribute to PNP. This slide gives you a nice summary of the wealth of PNP resources we have. So we have lots of videos and webcasts on Channel 9. We have more and more MSDN documentation. We have that very vibrant and active Yammer community that we talked about. We communicate to you via Twitter. We have our monthly Skype calls where we explain all the new stuff that was released and upcoming plans. Here is the list of the official PNP repositories. And finally, just want to spell out this guy over here, this Superman, is our PNP partner pack, which is an excellent solution for you to start if you need an enterprise solution for site provisioning and branding.